It's obviously a very emotional day for many of us today. And I could talk for a long time, pick up on some of the things that Jim said. I remember sitting in a meeting once, and Jim was working at the hospital at that time. And, of course, being on the hospital, he had shifts, the shift pattern, which nobody knew, I think, including Jim. And we were discussing, we needed somebody to take on a particular role. And the meeting was decided, well, Jim Moore's the guy. And so I said, well, Jim's highly suited to this, but he has funny turns. And it was taken completely out of context, of course. So it's lovely to share with Jim this morning. And as he said, we went out on outreach. Many, many stories about outreach. With a guy who came here who was very keen on evangelism. And he'd got one problem. And he couldn't get up in the morning. And so he would come Sunday night full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. And we went, he was out with me one night, and we called on this couple. And whilst we were there, this other couple came, who always came at Sunday morning. They weren't born again. And he's holding forth because we used to do it in turns. And then one of the lady who came regularly at Sunday morning said, well, I go to that church every Sunday morning, but I've never seen you there. And that's because he had this difficulty. So folks, sometimes it's not just enough to be enthusiastic. We've got to put the thing into action, haven't we? Yeah. I want us, I think I've got some notes somewhere. I did have some notes somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, they're there. It was put to me that we should just sort of look back a little bit. And so that's what we're going to do. There's a few slides there. Remember those, you know, when everybody had slides, you used to get invited out. You'd get away about 11 o'clock at night, and you'd seen everything from the ice cream cornet to the limousines that they'd seen on holiday, you know, bored to tears. But we're not going to do that. These are just some, I think, that will give you some insight as to where the church came from. I don't know how many can see that, but those four guys now have all gone to glory. Reverend Victor Trinder who was the superintendent minister of the Free Methodist Church. This is before this church came into being. Ron Taylor, who became the leader of the Free Methodist Church in England. Charlie Burroughs, who was one of the founding members here. The guy next to him was the farmer who was staying, and I was the guy who was taking the photographs. I was never on any photographs. Let's go on to the next one, Ruth. That's the Carl Anderson Memorial Church in Belfast. We went there that Sunday morning, and in actual fact, the reason I've put that on was that when some of you came in here with the communion table and the rail and the old pulpit, those were actually built from the plans of the Carl Anderson Memorial Church. So there was a link with Ireland as well. Okay. Yeah, again. Okay. That, to some of you, might be strange, but that was the Free Methodist Church at Morecambe when they first started in the house. Okay. Now then, this is where we come to the interesting bits here, because believe it or not, I don't know whether any of you can recognise it or not, that's this site. So if anybody says that we didn't have vision, that's overruled immediately. That group, we met together on the site. God had wonderfully opened up the way and prayed that this would become Redemption Ground. That was our prayer. not to build a church, but this might become redemption ground. And I've got to say, folks, God has honoured that. It's a pity they're not a little bit clearer, those. There we are, some of it coming to fruition. This, the actual construction of the building started somewhere about August, I think. Yeah. Again, a miracle happened because it was a strange piece of land, but the borough boundary actually goes through the land, the old borough boundary. So all the land facing Pemberton Road was in Billinge, and the land now, that we're on now was in Wigan. We put plans into Billinge who wouldn't let us make an entrance at Billinge Road, at Pemberton Road. And so we had to turn the church round, and that's why the church is facing out where it was. Originally it wanted to go back, but we couldn't put a brick down over the Billinge boundary. All those things have changed now. We're faced then with a strip of land at the end of Antrim Close. And that was one of the tricks that the builders have. They keep that land so they can't cross over it. You've got to buy it. And we negotiated with them, and they wouldn't have any truck either. And we met as a group of people in the manse on that Sunday. We were out of Methodism. We'd burned the boats. And on the Monday morning, we got a phone call to say, the entrance to the land is granted. When you move, God moves. Amen. And that was quite a significant. These are just shots of the actual building. It was a thrill, really, when we started to see this go up. There's a young lady there who's with us this morning. That's our Catherine. I used to come up every day just to look at the building, and Catherine came with me. She's probably still got some of the nail marks in her hand, I would think. There we are from the Pemberton Road side. Wow. To see that going up in the situation was a real thrill to us. Okay. There we are from the Antrim Close side. One of the problems that we had at that time was that when we actually came to Winstonley, there was no shops, there was no schools, there was no public buildings. There was nothing, only houses. And it was recorded at the time that this was the largest private housing development, not in Wigan, but in Europe at that time. The complete plans were to that as it came together. It was at that time, it was envisioned as the largest one. We're seeing something come to fruition now. There we are with the baptism tank. There's a story to that, because what you'd really got was a load of Methodists who were turning Baptists. And Frank and me had a lot to do with the building. And they put the baptistry tank in, and Frank came round. He said, I think we've dropped a clanger, Jim. I said, well, I said, have you seen the depth of that baptistry tank? I said, no. He said, we can drown half of Wigan in it. So somewhere in the book, somewhere, there's a big price for a chunk of concrete that we had to put in because these Methodist turned Baptists had got the whole thing gummed up to raise the baptism tank. Let's just mention that. As I said before, there were lots of the Free Methodist churches coming into being by this time. And I don't know whether David was involved or not on that night, but we had a baptismal service, I think, within a fortnight of opening the church. And Heather Moore was the first to be baptised, followed by Margaret and myself. Most of the other people had been baptised in Pentecostal churches all over the Wigan area, but we sort of stuck with it so that we were actually baptised here at Winstanley. Karen. The original cross on the outside was a neon cross that was lit on a time basis so that we proclaimed to the area the message of the cross. I think eventually it was probably vandalised, which is not surprising. Amen. Good. Good. There we are, nearing completion. That was a great day to see these things happening in such a short space of time. Keep going, Ruth. Do you know those two young ladies? One's Catherine there, the little one, and that's Ron Taylor's daughter, Liz. Okay. Heather Moore, Catherine and Joan Taylor. What can't speak, can't lie, can it, friends? There we are. It was a proud day for Ron in particular, who spent a lot of time with this project. And I think that will be on the first Sunday. Ron, of course, has gone to glory, but Joan is still with us. There we are, that's the first Sunday school. On the front row there, the little and Catherine, Stuart Jones, who some of you might know, Heather Moore at the back there, Christina Jones, and Andrew Moore. All got families. Bless them. That gives you some idea of how we came to be where we are today. And it's good, I believe, to be able to look back. We could talk of countless miracles. I took on the treasurer's job after Alan Jones, and we decided we needed some of those street signs. I think some of them, you probably took them down when you changed names. But we had those put up, and the bill came, and Joy Gordon was the secretary, and she said, "I've got a bill for you, Jim." I said, "It's no, we're giving it me." She said, "Why, you're the treasurer." I said, "We've no money." "Sit on it." We came to the meeting Sunday night. Now, nobody, not even the minister, knew about this. It was only Joy and me knew about it. And we came to the meeting Sunday night, and somebody came to me and said, "I believe that God has told me to give you that for the church." "How much was it for?" "To the penny." "Praise God." of the bill. And we saw this coming time and time again. Folks, it encourages me, because God is no man's debtor. Hallelujah. You know? And we need to really praise God. I could go on. We could get into the ramblings of an old man if we're not careful. And I don't want us to do that. Because, you know, yeah. But some of the things that we had a meeting one night, and we brought the film unit from Merseyside. We never had vast numbers at that stage. And they invited, unknown to us, someone who lived down at Highfield there. And he came to the meeting, to the film meeting, and gave his life to the Lord. He was just wonderfully saved. So much so, he threw his lot in with the church. And I can remember speaking to him in that aisle there. He was a businessman. Everything had gone wrong. He'd been treated terribly. And he came to me that Sunday and said, "I believe God has told me to start up my own business." He told me what he was doing. And I said to him, "Fred, if that's not of God, it's the craziest thing I've come across for a long time." I said, "Be sure, brother." And we prayed together. You know, it wasn't long. He set up that business, and it wasn't long before he was riding round in his big Mercedes. He was pouring a tenth of his income into the Lord's work. Paid for many adverts in the papers for us. Just blessed. And he was one, came in, got saved, and got wonderfully filled with the Holy Ghost. And has had a difficult time in the past few years. But he's now living in Portugal and still going on with God. And this is the important thing. This is when God comes in and touches people. Ken Leach was another man who joined the church and blessed us and was wonderfully used and became the actual superintendent of the Free Methodist Church in Britain. But Ken Leach came through those doors, and whilst he'd given his life to the Lord, two or three nights before, this became his spiritual home. And he blessed us, and he was responsible for many being brought into the kingdom. Folks, we could go on a long time with people whose lives have been changed and touched, wonderfully saved, filled with the Holy Ghost through the ministry of this church on this site. Folks, we can leave the building, but we take the blessing with us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I believe in all these things, there's greater things to come. When this building, as Jim already referred to, we knew what we were doing. 25 years, that's what they said. And that was the terms that we bought it on. 25 years, and that was in 1971. And you're still in it today. Folks, I tell you, it might look nice, but it's past its sell-by date. And I believe that this is why God has opened up the way in the way that he has, because I believe that God is in it, you know. And I just pray, as we prayed on this site, that that's going to become redemption ground in Oral. You see, Oral is dear to my heart, because we've lived in Apollon now probably 20-odd years. But you can take an Oral lad out of Oral, but you can't take the Oral out of an Oral lad. And so I've still got a burden and a concern for that area, you know. And you're going into a place where I believe it's more, the ground is more ready now than ever it was. The Methodist Chapel is closing in May of this year. There's a great opportunity. And I just believe, folks, that what we've seen in the past is a pale shadow of what's to come. I'm getting carried away. This is not what's in my notes. I just want to come to the Word of God because I believe this is a special day. What time do we finish, Steve?
Well, we're
because I have another meeting at 4:30.
I never like putting a limit on,
Yeah. Yeah, let's just read some scriptures from that lovely book of Joshua, a favourite book of mine, Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given it you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I believe that, folks, it's not just for Joshua. It's for you folk here. It's for this church. This is a time when we quite legitimately can look back, as we have done this morning. But I just want to make 2 points, and I believe that we need not just to look back, but we need to look out. This building would have been gone a long time ago if people had looked out. The opportunities came and they were let go with lack of vision. When I looked at that word, look out, I went into the, this internet's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's better than all your theological colleges. And it said a lookout is a person on a ship in charge of the observation of the sea for hazards, other ships, land, etc. Lookouts report anything they see and are here. When reporting contacts, lookouts give information such as bearing and all the rest of it, all these naval terms. But there's one thing that I noticed. That guy was placed in the top of the mast there so that he could see all that was going on. But he was never there when the ship wasn't moving. When the ship wasn't moving, there was no need of a lookout, because you're not going anywhere, folks. And whilst this is a physical application, I believe there's a very spiritual application to it. You know, we need to look out and to look up to find out where we're going and to get that direction. The lookout was there principally so that he could know and see the enemy. And I believe that in the Christian life, it's something that we need to know. We need to know our enemy. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking where he can devour." Friends, I want to give a word of warning this morning. Take care, because the devil will seek to come in and destroy you. He will divide you on some silly things, because this is his ploy. Yeah. And once we get in a move like this, where we see the hand of God being made bare amongst his people, we're in danger. Yeah. Oh, folks, keep your eyes upon Jesus. Yes. He will seek to divide, he'll seek to unrest. But Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, he knows your thoughts. And he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not grow. Folks, it might seem strange to you on a day like this, but I believe that some of us today are seeing we've been so happy here. We've been so blessed here. Are we doing the right thing? We're comfortable. Hallelujah, folks. God takes us out of the comfort zone. The church today, by and large in Britain, it is dying because people have refused to move and to come out of that comfort zone. Yeah. There's a word in the scripture in the Song of Solomon, isn't it, where it talks about it's the little things that cause the problem. And folks, be warned that whilst God is in control, the devil will seek to come in, he'll seek to come divide, he'll seek to destroy, because that's his job. Yes. And he's pretty good at it. Yes. Folks, look up, because God is still in control. Hallelujah. Look out for the good in one another. Look for the good in the scripture. Yes. The spies, you know, that Moses sent out to the promised land, they came back, didn't they? We go into the book of Numbers. They came back, some of them bearing fruit, and some of them with stories that weren't all that good. Because they came and brought the fruit of the land. In Numbers 13, 25 to 30, we read it there. "And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Ur at the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Parma at Kadesh. They brought back word to him and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and there is fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the..." Oh, it's like being in a church meeting. Yeah. "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified. They're very large. Moreover, we saw the attendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land." They've all been to the same place. But they're coming back with two totally different stories. Yes. Why? Because, friends, they'd taken their eyes off the ball. They'd taken their eyes off the true purpose of why they went out to spy the land. Yes. And in the Christian church, I'm sorry to say, but we've got what I call the butters. You know, I'm Lancashire, so you can understand me. It's no good trying to dress things up. You know, the number of times I've been with Christian people and I've been in Christian meetings and things have been going well, and then somebody comes up, ah, but. I remember a church that we attended that put a new building up, and it went up in the main entrance, went up with about 6 steps. And in one of the meetings, one of the guys said, 6 steps? He said, just imagine carrying a coffin up there. And somebody else said, yes, but think of a bride stood at the top of them. They were in the same place. They were looking at the same thing, but they got two totally different pictures. And this is what happened when the spies came back. They got two different pictures. When they crossed the Jordan, it was crazy, you know, because the Jordan was at flood. And it said that the Jordan, when it came to flood, from being a nice, narrow, pleasant little stream, it would flood to over a mile wide and become a roaring torrent. And that's when Joshua, under God, said, we're going over. We're going in to possess the land. Everything was against them. But Joshua, under the authority of God, was sure that he was going to take these people across. Right. Friends, we need vision. We need determination. We need anointing for situations like this. Yes. You are not going into an easy field, but you're going into a place that is ready for the gospel. You're going into a place that God, I believe, has still got his hand on that place. Tremendous things have happened in that village over the years. I could keep you for a long time with people whose lives have been touched in that place. And the church today there is dead. It's a funny story told, you know, about the fellowship that was in the church at Salem. Because I can remember on Oral as a boy, families all had nicknames. This wasn't out of disrespect. It's just you've got so many Penningtons and so many Gastels that they gave them all nicknames that they could identify them. And my mother tells me that somebody went over from the chapel at Salem, I mean, on the Thursday night. That was choir practice night. And she said, have you had a good practice? He said, not so bad. What was the turn-up like? He said, there were 71 of us. She said, 71? A choir practice? Yeah. He said, Jimmy 30, Tommy 40, and me. That's the kind of situation going into it, folks, because some of that still supplies. You know, friends, I've got notes here, but I'm away off them. We so often can become at ease in Zion. Amos talks about woe to those who are at ease in Zion. In Genesis 19, see the pillar of salt, don't we? Friends, where are we looking? We need to look out. We need to look out physically. We need to look out spiritually. Because, folks, if my experience in the life of the church is anything to go by, the storms will come. But, folks, we have an anchor. The hymn writer says we have an anchor that keeps the soul fastened to the rock. Folks, don't look out for the difficulties. Don't look out for the trials. No. Look out for the big fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the fruit that they could hardly carry. Because, folks, I believe in all my heart simply that with Christ in the vessel, we're on the victory side. You know what I want to say this morning? Look out, Satan, because you're going to be attacked.
Amen.
You're going into a battle.
Yes.
And I believe with all my heart that God is going to restore unto you as a church here some of the years that the locust have eaten in that community of Oral. I trust that I'm speaking prophetically. Friends, you're going there to seek and to serve. Seek Oral. Seek it out for God. In Acts 2 and 47 it says, and the Lord added daily to the number those who were being saved. This is what it's all about. It's not about a nice building. It's all about the presence of God in the midst of his people. So look out. But also, folks, we've looked back. We've looked out. Let's look up. I don't know, but when I'm looking down here at these notes that I've made, I can't see any of you. But you know, as I move my head, I see all these beautiful people in front of me. Well, some of you. Look up. I go into some of these churches and chapels in the area. I go there and seek to minister. I think many a time I'm there because they can't get anybody else. But that doesn't matter. If I go there to preach, as far as I'm concerned, whether it's six or whether it's 600, yes, we've a message to proclaim.
Amen.
You know, I go into these places and say, oh, we're only a few, you know. There's only a few of us. I know a church at the present time who's saying that they've got enough money to last them for 3 years. This doesn't seem any joy in the place. Is it any wonder?
Yeah.
We're getting older, you know, and we're tired. There doesn't seem to be, they're not interested anymore, are they? Look up, folks,
yes,
because God is still on the throne.
Right.
Some of these people, you know, look back and they talk about the good old days. Things are not the same, you know. I said to one guy once, I'm glad too. He said, why? I said, I used to get waking every Monday morning at 6 o'clock with Tom Hite and lighting boiler so his wife could do the washing. You knew what you were having for your tea on a Monday because you'd had it for your dinner on the Sunday. You know, toilets half a mile away from the house, the good old days. Oh, some of us are still looking back. Folks, we don't need to look back. We need to look forward. Hallelujah. You know, they talk about some of these things as though it's almost a virtue. I remember when I was doing my national service with a sergeant there. He was a bit of a rough man, but most sergeants were, weren't they? You know. And it didn't matter what you were doing. If you walked past you, he always used to say, look up, man, look up. And we finished up with an army of people who were like that, you know, to try and please the guy. But folks, we do need to come to that place where we're looking up and seeing what God will do. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol and there cut down the branches. God had looked after these people for years. He's fed them with manna. He's taken them through and brought them to that point And when they get into that land, get a view of what's in front of them, all that they could see were the giants. And we just seem to get carried away with the problems. Folks, let's get a bit of joy in our lives. Let's get a bit of vigor in some of the things that we do. Let's get enthusiastic about it. I had a woodwork master, you know, he was a very devout Methodist. And it didn't matter what you were doing. He always seemed so miserable. And I went to a meeting one night, and he was actually in the meeting, and they were sharing about Methodism. And Jimmy got up, and in the way that only Jimmy could do, he made his contribution, and he stood up and he said, "Methodism is a joyous thing." And sat down. And one of these lads next to me said, "Why doesn't he tell his face?" You see, it's no good pretending about these things, is it? You know, we need to be in that place where God is moving, where God is blessing us, where God is using us. That verse 2 in chapter 1, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people." Folks, it wasn't the time to do it, humanly speaking. But God directed Joshua, and bless him, he obeyed God. You see, because God so often takes us to the very edge before he moved. Would you have faith to take those people to the river? It's all right talking about it, but that's faith, isn't it? He's got a nation. He's not a Boy Scout troop. He's got a whole nation behind him. Yeah. And he's saying to the priest, "Get in the water." And the priest saying, "Not on your life, pal." It was at flood. It was a mile wide. It was like a roaring torrent. It wasn't the time of the year to do it. Let's leave it. Next spring, that's when we should do it. That's where we are, friends. But Joshua demanded those men to go in, and God took over. And I tell you, friends, that I believe with all my heart that this is what God's going to do for you and for the fellowship here. Folks, you're not leaving a church. You're leaving a site. The church is you. The church is going with you.
Yes.
The Living Faith Church is just being planted in Oral.
Yes.
All you've done is change your abode. You've got a council house. Hallelujah. You know? He's found you another place. And this is it, isn't it? And I just want to encourage you this morning, because I'm just desperate in these days. You see, I might be simplistic, I don't know. But as I look upon society today, I see no answer to a lot of the problems that we're encountering, only a move of God. And I believe that move of God can and will come through his church if we're faithful to him. He's wanting to use his church. He's wanting to build a church. Joshua really put his job on the line, didn't he? What would have happened if the river hadn't divided? He'd enough faith to do it because God was with them. He left the past. Lot's wife, look back, almost turned to a pillar of salt. Folks, don't long for the past. Praise God for it, but leave it and go forward. In 2 Corinthians 5, it's just a simple word that says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is where you're looking and where you're expecting. Folks, Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
We don't talk about it enough. But it's going to happen. Read Matthew 24. Read in Luke's Gospel and you see it there. David Pawson, who some may not agree with, but David Pawson, some years ago, did lay his on the line and said that almost all the prophecies to do with the second coming could only be fulfilled as the event starts to take place. And I believe that's how near we are to Jesus coming again. I had a phone call a few weeks ago. This lady, very nice, and she said, "Have you made arrangements for your funeral?" I said, "No." She said, "They're very expensive." She said, "It's estimated that in a few months' time it could cost as much as £8,000 to get buried." I said, "I'm not being buried, love." "Oh," she said, "but everybody dies." "No," I said, "you've got it all wrong." I said, "Jesus is coming back and I'm going to go up with him, so I don't need a coffin or anything." "Hello?" She'd gone. But it's true, isn't it? It's true. We need to get hold of some of the reality of it all, don't we? You know? Are you expecting Jesus? Are we ready? Can I ask you today, on this last day in this chapel that's been so blessed by God over the years, can you really say that you're born again of the Spirit? Can you really say that you're filled with the Holy Ghost and with power? Because, you know, there could be no greater epitaph to this place than for this morning the Spirit of God to descend upon us and change us. Change us. Friends, keep looking up. There will be people with doubts and there will be people with misgivings, but I believe God has opened up the way. Joshua entered the land, made things right with God, and the nation was wonderfully blessed. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, "I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground." Are you a child of God this morning? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost and with power? Or do you still have doubts, misgivings? God can, and he wants to deal with all those. And he's saying to us this morning, look back, but look out. Be aware of what's going on. And he says to us this morning, look up. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? That was one of the hymns that became very dear to us in the early days of this building here. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit possess. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Folks, I believe that that's the truth. Him writer basing it on scripture there. But God is here this morning to help us rejoice in the past, to rejoice in what's happening in these days, but to set our eyes on the future. And I believe he's saying this morning, I'll come, I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. And send you out into that place as a mighty army. to take Oral and the surrounding areas for Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen.